federal government has just drifted, it's slipped, I would say, into the business of coercing individuals into supporting military by paying for it or by serving. And this is the remarkable thing that I've unearthed by carefully looking at what happened when the country was put together. The original ability to compel service, armed service, lies with the sovereign states, not with the federal government. The states reserve this power to themselves by constitution, and this is the people of those times speaking in their constitutions, because they felt they needed state militias. But at the same time, almost without exception, all the states that compelled military service in the state militias also made accommodations and exceptions for those people with what they used to call religious scruples of conscience, including Quakers, including Shakers and Mennonites, and in some instances, any person that had a religious scruple. They were asked to provide an equivalent. And in the case of New York State, that equivalent at different times was used to support common schools and or support basically programs for the poor, and at other times just for general county government. So actually, the precedent has already been established in the states for alternative service for tax dollars, the same concept that we're trying today to have accepted in the national level. What happened was that the state militias, as they were phased out after the Civil War, the federal government began to slip, as I would say, into the business of coercing military service and paying for military without an express grant from the people. It's not there. It's not in the Constitution. The government slipped into this as the state slipped out of it, and it took about 50 or so years. But what happened was that the federal government took over this power without the counterbalancing, historical counterbalance of accommodating religious conscience. During that 50 years time, it just sort of went into the shadows. And so what we had is the federal government suddenly deciding they needed huge manpower in World War I and invoking conscription without having the historical and traditional underpinnings that the states had 100 years earlier. It's a historical transition or evolution, you might say. And so my case is based on the fact that the bearing of arms in state militias prior to the federal government being formed, as well as afterwards, because the soldiers for the National Army were to be provided by state militias. There was no federal standing army at the beginning. From the beginning, again, because of the people that had religious reasons for being in the New World, had insisted that they would not serve under arms, but they would serve their communities in other ways. The concept of not providing munitions or service in exchange for some other public service is part of our legal tradition and history. And my case is based on the fact that those rights of conscience, liberty of conscience rights, are still retained by the people and are actually protected via the federal constitution through the Ninth Amendment, which basically says that just because certain rights are listed in the Bill of Rights doesn't mean that other rights retained by the people can be denied or disparaged by the federal government in the future. This was all worked out. The counterbalancing was worked out, the accommodation for conscience was worked out, and the federal government was created in a way that clearly allowed those rights to continue. And we've just, by historical evolution, drifted off from that original concept, and that's the basis for my legal case. There were reasons why conscience is not mentioned in the federal constitution, and that's because it was fully covered in the state constitutions, where the people of those times felt the rights were actually better protected in their state's constitutions than in this fledgling federal government that they put together.